for as countries cut their emissions. Chocolate trends, Lindt selling Dubai chocolate in Aachen, Germany. Hundreds lining up for hours to get a taste of treats, mixing chocolate with Middle Eastern flavors like pistachio cream and kanafe, a sweet pastry. The industry is looking to expand the worldwide chocolate market. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes. And just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think it is, to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 30s. A mix of sun and clouds, breezy and warmer tomorrow, highs in the mid-50s. Some showers around Saturday night, drying out for Sunday, partly sunny and a high in the upper 50s. Rain chances return to start next week. Right now it's 33.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll welcome Meg Deem with the Friends of the Brown County Library to talk about their Give a Kid a Book program.
And Amy Herrick with the Fox Cities Chamber talks about their Excellence in Education Shining Star Awards.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live From our studio at Radio Park in Racine, you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, we have a new version of the Civic Media app. So if you have not downloaded yet, go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. You can do all kinds of things with our app. You can call and text directly into whatever show that you're listening to. Mm-hmm. You can listen to all of the stations across the state. You can sign up for newsletters. You can sign up for all kinds of things. Our news team is putting together some really great curated things for each market, depending upon where you are. So if you're near Hayward or Oshkosh or Amory. So download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. He joins us every Friday at this time from the award-winning Recombobulation area, and he is Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. It's been a little bit of a discombobulating week, but always good to recombobulate on a Friday with you all.
Glad to have you here. You want to start off? We just did a round of all the best people, round two, before you joined us when we were talking about Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, now being nominated to head the Department of the Interior. Donald Trump said he really likes interior.
So it's the best interior.
That's okay. And Robert Kennedy Jr. as the head of Health and Human Services. That's really something.
It's really something. It is jarring to see some of these announcements come through, but also I think we have to take a step back a little bit with this and recognize that this is what Trump campaigned on. You know, this should not exactly be that much of a surprise to see the Matt Gaetzes and RFK Juniors of the world announced for these positions. This is what Trump campaigned on. This is what people voted for. And we should not really be surprised by any of it. And I think we have to, I think there's so many people in the national media universe who are going through the motions of the same thing that we did 8 years ago when Trump was elected. And it's just like, oh, how could this possibly happen? People were stunned. We're disgusted. We're concerned. Susan Collins.
Oh, yes.
Going through all of these. But these are the people he campaigned with. This is not earth-shaking news. This we should have seen this coming. And so when people are saying they're stunned and disgusted, as I saw one story frame the reaction to the Matt Gaetzes nomination, Matt Gaetzes was campaigning with Trump all the time. Yeah. Even going back to the primary debate in Milwaukee, Matt Gaetzes was all over the place in Milwaukee campaigning for Trump, even though Trump wasn't at the debate. I don't know why we should be surprised by this. You know, this is our new reality.
Yeah.
It's not what a lot of us wanted, but we got to face facts here. This is what people voted for. This is what he campaigned on. We should not be surprised. The old world is gone. This is the new reality.
Well,
like it either. This is where we are.
It is where we are. But the other thing that I think we've especially been learning over the last week is about people's knowledge about particular issues is very dependent upon where they get their news. Mm-hmm. There's a major divide between people who actually read actual newspapers and watch some mainstream media, as opposed to people who only get their information from their friends on Facebook and from other social media platforms.
From people saying.
Yeah, many, many people are saying.
Yeah, there's a divide between the people who are Ezra Klein actually just tweeted this. I saw this right before I came on the show. The divide is not between left versus right. It's between people who are interested versus uninterested in the news. There was a great poll released yesterday talking about people. If you pay more attention to political news, if you pay more attention to what's happening in the news cycle, you are far more likely to vote for Democrats. You're far more likely to vote for Harris. If you're not paying attention to the news at all, you are far more likely to vote for Trump. And I think there is kind of this, kind of like two factions of the Republican Party, and the way I've been kind of characterizing it as the country club Republicans, which is like the George W. Bush, Paul Ryan,
the established
Mitt Romney,
guys. Yep.
Establishment Republicans versus the pro wrestling Republicans, which is the Donald
WWE,
Trump, Hulk Hogan, Kid Rock wing of that we saw really on full display at the RNC this year. And I think there are more voters that came out who are the pro wrestling Republicans who may not vote in every election, might not have voted in the midterms, but came out to vote for Trump specifically. And I think there is, and I think for a long time, people on the left thought that, like, oh, if only, you know, we had a Bernie Sanders style progressive that would get people who are not voting to come out of the woodwork and be part of like a turnout machine that would really swing things for Democrats. Well, Donald Trump is showing that it's not necessarily that is the great, you know, untapped resource in the American electorate. But I think it is these pro wrestling Republicans who are turned out in droves for Trump, because like we saw in 4 of the 7 swing states, Harris got more votes than Joe Biden did in 2020, but still lost.
Yeah, I mean, I think that divide that you just mentioned is very apt, because, you know, it's not a matter of like who's smarter or not smarter, or who's like, I don't like to paint that brush or put those labels on, but when you support Donald Trump, you get to be political in your support without all the heavy lifting of getting to know the topics. You just get to say, I support Donald Trump. And if he wins, yabbity dabbity do. And now some of them are saying, oh no, what's happening? Not a lot, some, but that seems like to be the appeal of the Trump GOP, which is you get to support this guy. He wins. Yeah. And I don't have to do all that silly research. I don't have to do all that reading. I just
know it's going to be good.
I can
for
banter
me.
With my buddies at work and they know things.
I'm just waiting for Hulk Hogan to get a cabinet position. I'm not quite sure where he belongs in this, but
he's going
to
take over the presidential physical fitness test.
Okay. Yeah. That would make sense. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Well, we had a Bernie Sanders progressive candidate in 2016, and the ignorant DNC, which I'm still very upset with, by the way, decided that it was better to try to run a woman. But if we would have gotten Bernie in 2016, which we would have by a landslide, we'd never have this Hitler syndrome that's going on right now.
So you're still mad at the DNC?
Oh, my God. I'll never forgive them.
I understand that, Cindy, and thank you for calling. We appreciate it. I understand that, but the uphill battle that Bernie Sanders would have had being elected president in the United States post Barack Obama in the Tea Party, in the, you know, very, we won't do what you want to do because we don't like you type, it would have been impossible for him, especially the fact that the Republicans ran both houses, or the House and the Senate. And I'm not saying he couldn't have won, or he wouldn't have been a great president, but there is this notion that Bernie would have walked in and fixed everything and tied it with a bow and said, here you go, America. I've done it for you.
I fixed you.
It would have been an uphill battle and a lot of fights. So that's just my personal opinion on the whole Bernie Sanders narrative.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. He is also Civic Media's political editor, and we've been talking about some of Donald Trump's nominations for cabinet members. One thing I saw this morning, Dan, and I don't know if you've seen this yet, but Trump's transition team is bypassing traditional FBI background checks for at least some cabinet picks while using private companies to vet the others. This should be concerning.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to kind of it connects to kind of that Elon Musk government efficiency, whatever nonsense.
That needs two people to head it, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Could be slightly more efficient. But I think the kind of privatization of certain things, I think, is going to be a part of this Trump administration. Mm-hmm. Because like this, you know, government efficiency thing, is it going to be part of the government? Is it going to be funded by taxpayers?
Yes.
Is it going to be approved by Congress? But I think because Trump got this popular vote victory, biggest Republican victory in 20 years. I think they're just going to be like, yeah, we're just going to do whatever we want.
Well, and who's going to stop
them? And I think it is going to be, you know, and Elon, and this is another topic I kind of wanted to talk about with you guys, was just kind of the oligarchy of it all when it comes to this Trump administration and Elon Musk putting himself right in the middle of it all, despite, you know, it being, I don't know, is a benefit of government contracts or all these different types of things. And I think Trump is not a particularly ideological person. I think he's very transactional. Yes. And I think the transactions that are going to be made are the ones by the people who donated millions, tens of millions of dollars to his campaign.
Yep.
And I think that is going to be, I think that should be a way that Democrats push back against this, because it is, you know, a government by the billionaire class that is running things in the Trump administration.
This morning, Luke Mathers was filling in for Pat Kreitlow. We were talking to Jim Santel about this very thing, about the notion of conflict of interest, all these individuals coming in with conflicts of interest. And I said, based on what Jim actually talked to us about yesterday off air, is that Trump has created this this atmosphere of, oh, there's conflict of interest. That's a very lawyerly law type of term, you know, legal type of term. I have one too. It's called, I don't care what you think, and I'm going to do it anyways. And that's what he's been doing. Therefore, all of his people have been doing it. And we kind of sit on the sidelines going, well, what do we do? I mean, we can't arrest them. They won't go to jail. Nothing will happen. And they get to be in power.
Well, now, and Mike Johnson just said this morning after meeting at Mar-a-Lago that the ethics report, the House Ethics Committee report on Matt Gaetz should never be released, because that's a breach of protocol. So, we're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. I hope you will stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have, you plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. The number is the same. To call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is with us, author of the award-winning Recombobulation Area and also Civic Media's political editor. We're still talking about the election and the fallout from the election. And boy, some folks really spent a whole lot of money, Dan Schaefer, trying to get some people in office, and that didn't work out.
That's true. You know, it was a certain Wisconsin-based, the owners of a certain Wisconsin-based company sure spent a whole lot of money in the most recent election cycle, which I think is kind of flying under the radar as a news story. You know, the traditional Wisconsin political press has not paid a whole lot of attention to this, but Dick and Liz Uline, the owners of the Wisconsin-based Uline company, according to Open Secrets, which tracked all of the outside spending for super PACs and other groups on this election, noted that Dick and Liz Uline of the Uline Incorporated spent more than $133 million on this election. They actually spent more on this election than Elon Musk.
Really?
On outside spending, I mean, some of this is just like you can't always track the direct to party spending or the direct to other, you know, outside groups. But as far as what Open Secrets has tracked for outside spending in this particular election, Dick and Liz Uline spent more than Elon Musk.
That's got to hurt. But I don't think it does.
No, I think it just shows that the amount of influence that these two have on the Republican Party is massive. And I think it is important for us to pay attention to this, because this is a Wisconsin-based company. These are people who have deep ties to the state of Wisconsin. I know they live just south of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin-Illinois border, but they have strong ties to Wisconsin. They throw a lot of money around the Midwest, and I think, you know, they were one of the biggest backers of Ron Johnson going back to, you know, 2016 and all of that. And they got him to essentially add a certain provision to the Trump tax bill.
That's right. The pass-throughs.
That netted them, in a single year, netted them more than $200 million. And so I think as that, the renewal of that Trump tax bill is going to be one of the big legislative fights as we look ahead to 2025. You know, their influence is massive here, and I think it's going to be an important part of this debate to point out that the return on investment that folks like the Ulines are getting by getting, you know, these massive tax breaks for the billionaire class that has been part of Republican politics. And going back to what I was saying, that last segment of the country club Republicans versus the pro wrestling Republicans, at the end of the day, they always govern like country club Republicans.
Yes.
You know, as much as they will campaign as these change-making populists, but govern as, you know, tax breaks for the wealthy. That was like one of the only things that Trump actually accomplished in those 2 years of unified Republican control that he had from 2017 and 18 in office. So I think that's going to be an important part of the narrative going forward, and an important part of like a very key legislative fight. And these Wisconsin business owners were central to all of it. And I remember there was a story, I think it was from The Guardian in the weeks before the election, that they were like polling their own employees asking their own employees like who they were going to vote for in the upcoming election. And I think we have to pay attention to what these folks are doing, because I think it is having a profound effect on our politics, on our political environment in Wisconsin and across the country.
This smacks of back in 2008 when CEOs were doing the same thing about Barack Obama, or telling them if Barack Obama becomes president, you can say goodbye to your health care, say goodbye to raises, and threatening them without threatening them. It's just... And oh, by the way, folks, if you're wondering, the Ulines are like worth at least, I think, $4 billion at this point.
They're struggling.
And so $120 million is a disgusting drop in the bucket to them. As we've said before, like 10 generations won't work in that family because of the money they have now.
Well, and I think this should be something that all of us can agree upon. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If you're upset about George Soros, if you're upset about Mark Zuckerberg trying to help communities run their elections, and you don't have a problem with the Ulines spending $100 million trying to get their preferred candidates elected, I understand the Zuckerberg thing was different.
No.
But we should all be concerned about these multi-millionaires and billionaires having this much influence on our elections.
I absolutely. Yeah. But silver lining here as we wrap up, they spent tens of millions of dollars supporting Eric Hovde and and running this campaign of hate against Tammy Baldwin. And even in a red wave year, they lost.
Yeah.
So I think that that is the silver lining of this. I know there's a lot of money on the Democratic side, too. Of
there
course.
Is.
We should be paying attention to that, too. But these are people from Wisconsin or people involved who own a business based in Wisconsin. And we should be paying attention to them as a Wisconsin media outlet here, especially. And I think but the silver lining is that red wave year. Tens of million dollars against her, one of the biggest donors in the country, and she managed to hang on.
Oh,
kudos to Tammy Baldwin.
Dick and Liz, hang in another 2 years, you can try and buy another seat somewhere. You'll be happy.
I think you're absolutely right, though, Dan. We do need to pay attention to people who are giving, no matter what side. It's just going back to what you said, Jane. They've been taught that George Soros is evil.
Right.
But then you say, what about Dick and Liz Uline? They're like, who is that? They give hundreds of millions of dollars to Republicans. Oh, well, I don't know.
Fine.
I don't know. No, their answer is always, well, I don't know about them.
Right. Dan Schaefer is the author of the award-winning Recombobulation Area and also the political editor for Civic Media. I highly encourage you to subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. Dan, you do a great job with that. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. For the first time in 22 years, a major strike in Las Vegas. 700 culinary union employees of the Virgin Hotel hit the picket lines Friday. Their last contract expired in June of last year. A frustrated Michael Rennick.
This place makes money. This place has concerts and shows. I mean, it's Las Vegas. Stuff's happening all the time. I think they should just rip off the Band-Aid and give the people what they deserve.
The current proposal includes zero wage increases in the first 2 years of the five-year deal. Who's complaining about high prices? The government reported a 0.4% hike in retail spending in October. Solid, but not as robust as September's 0.8% rise. North Dakota utility regulators approved a 333-mile section of a proposed pipeline to capture carbon dioxide from ethanol plants. It would run a total of 2,500 miles through five Midwestern states. North Dakota has faced vociferous landowner objections and various hurdles. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Badgers upset Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Arizona Wildcats were ranked ninth in the nation, but on a night, the Badgers honored now Hall of Fame coach Bo Ryan. They beat Arizona 103-88. Missouri transfer John Fanjay led Wisconsin with 41 points.
As far as Wisconsin, I feel like I want to be a part of, you know, a night like this. I think we have a great, amazing coaching staff. I just want to be a part of something special. Today we had, you know, alumni come in and we celebrated some of the guys from the Sweet 16 teams. I mean, it was just...
Final four.
Even better. My bad.
They host Texas Rio Grande Valley Monday at the Kohl Center. NBA, Bucks on the road in Charlotte tonight to play the Hawks. College football, Wisconsin and number one ranked Oregon. Kickoff at 6:30 tonight at Camp Randall. The Packers in Chicago against the Bears tomorrow at noon. Rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd, just back from an ankle injury, will not be able to play.
Unfortunately, he had appendicitis, so.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 30s. A mix of sun and clouds, breezy and warmer tomorrow, highs in the mid-50s. Some showers around Saturday night, drying out for Sunday, partly sunny and a high in the upper 50s. Rain chances return to start next week.
Right now it's 33.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will take a look at what happened over the weekend. Don't worry, nothing. Well, yeah, some things are going to happen over the weekend. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinere on air. Jane Matinere, Greg Bach, and Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:51, we will round out the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Never Forget edition. If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Of course, Elon Musk in the news quite a bit, leading the Department of Governmental Efficiency, or DOGE.
Puke.
Along with Vivek Ramaswamy. God. Notice that the Department of Government Efficiency has to have two heads. You would think if they were efficient, they'd only have one.
And I'm going to say, I can't wait for the first fight that these two tech billionaires get into with each other. And one has a social media website and the other one has a huge social media following. So,
well, they both do.
But yeah, this is going to be a clashing and destruction of egos.
Yeah, you get a bunch of narcissists in the same room.
And no one beats Trump.
Right.
That's
true.
Top.
He's the alpha him.
He's the alpha gay.
From the Huffington Post, headline reads, Elon Musk keeps getting hit with lawsuits for duping Trump supporters. If you remember this, my friends, voters thought they had a chance to randomly win $1 million as part of Elon Musk's PAC. And his own attorneys came out and said, yeah, we already picked the people. Oops.
Jane, are you telling me that this contest was on the fix?
It was on the fix, Greg Bach. Billionaire Jeez. Elon Musk has been hit now with several proposed class action lawsuits over allegations his PAC committed fraud by falsely telling voters they had a chance to randomly win $1 million when, again, the winners had already been pre-selected. In October, Elon set this up to support now President-elect Donald Trump, trying to entice Trump supporters in battleground states by promising the shot at this money if they gave away personal information and then signed an online petition to support free speech and the right to bear arms. Then a little later in October, Musk handed out, well, from October 19th until the election November 5th, Musk did hand out $16 million to more than a dozen winners, but they were pre-selected. That seems like fraud.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I'm trying to find a way he can wiggle out of this, but it's like if you fix the lottery is supposed to be random and you have a whole heapin's chance in hell of winning, but yeah, if you enter, it seems like it was a way of data mining.
Yes.
Without
no payoff.
Yeah, I'm really trying
with no payoff. Well, I suckered you into giving me your personal identification. Thanks.
Which, by the way, is not so hard to do nowadays. All you have to do is offer someone a 10% off coupon on anything, and they'll be like, yeah, here's my email address. I'll take it.
As people flocked at the chance to win this money, the Philadelphia DA went to court accusing Elon of running an illegal lottery scheme. But a Pennsylvania judge allowed the payouts to continue after Musk's attorneys argued it wasn't actually a lottery because winners were selected based on their suitability to serve as spokespeople for the PAC, and therefore the $1 million was payment.
Sounds like they hired them?
That seems a little convoluted.
Yeah, that sounds like they're trying to double down with lawyer speak.
Now Musk has been hit with three lawsuits accusing him of fraud and breach of contract for lying to voters about their chances to win. Yeah. Jacqueline McCarty of Arizona filed the lawsuits on November 5th against Elon Musk, saying she was duped into giving her personal information to America PAC on the false promise that she had a chance to win this $1 million. According to the complaint, defendants knew their representations were false at the time they were made. Defendants, meaning Elon, have continued promoting the petition as a chance to win $1 million randomly, while at the same time selecting winners based on selective, predetermined criteria.
God, I hope he gets sued so hard for this. I hope there's no settlement. Like, this is just the undeserved worship of this man. And here's the other thing, too, that was really weird. If you were still on Twitter, you couldn't scroll past two accounts without seeing the America PAC.
Oh, yeah.
Ad. But what was weird about it, and this is just me being like conspiracy theory, is that it had no profile picture. You couldn't click into a profile. You couldn't quote tweet it. You couldn't comment. You couldn't like it. You couldn't see its algorithm and how it affected how it was being seen, its analytics. Nothing. It was just there as like an immutable tile on your wall that you couldn't do anything about. It just stayed there. And I want to say it wasn't up for scrutiny either. It had no pathway to like seeing like, who is this group? What is going on here? I mean, you knew it was Elon Musk. He's not quiet about it. He didn't hide it. But it was just weird that this one account had the absolute inability to be seen for anything else.
But isn't that the whole, at least my problem with these super PACs, is it is intentionally murky.
Yes.
No one wants you to know who's funding these things. Because as we were just talking about with Dan Schaefer, some of these ultra wealthy people might have their own agendas on what in their quid pro quo.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
What am I going to get if I give you my support? What are you going to give me?
Yeah, it's never because, hey, I think you're great. People send in their fives, tens, $1, whatever, because they really have a candidate. But when you're talking about the Ulines and Diane Hendricks and Elon Musk and all those individuals, this is an investment. This is
absolutely.
It's to reach that next billion sooner than later.
Yep.
And the problem is that we're not shocked. Those who are critical of Elon are not shocked. But the people who voted for Donald Trump either think, I don't care, or yeah, because that's how you do it.
Well, and I think there's some of that.
Yeah.
But again, I also think this is a problem that we're seeing more reporting on about where people are getting their information from. And if you subscribe to Washington Post, New York Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer is a great paper.
Yes,
Will Bunch is fantastic.
Yeah.
Miami Herald. There's a bunch of independent places you can go to. Mm-hmm. But if you actually read a newspaper or subscribe to websites that are more legacy media,
yeah,
you are better informed than people who are only getting their information from their Facebook friends, cousin's sister's dog walker.
Well, I mean, I want to throw in, you know, there are cable news outlets that do the same, serve as those people in as far as the amount of the quality of information. I just don't think it's great to only watch one or read one thing. Watch one thing. You should be reading a variety of things.
Yes.
And watching a variety of things. Even if you disagree with them, know what they're talking about. So you can say, I know that's not right because I have the information and this is incorrect. And you don't have, but yeah, if you just tie yourself to one form of information, it's not going to help you. And
well, in some instances, it just reinforms your own biases.
It reinforms your biases, but also you, it seems like the people who support Trump, the people who support Elon, the people who support that movement are a lot more forgiving of transgressions. Those transgressions allow them to acquire power, and the power allows them to create legislation that never benefits these people unless they're above a certain tax bracket. Yep. And that's the problem. It's people who make as much as me a year, which I'm not poor, but I'm not rich, saying Trump is the best thing for our economy. How has he helped you? Those tax cuts do not help you. They will never help you. They were never intended to help you.
Well, and keep in mind, when that 2017 tax package went through, the tax breaks for the middle class and below expired in 2 years.
Yeah.
The tax breaks for the ultra wealthy did not expire.
No, and they're going to extend those probably forever for them. And
because they need it.
They'll throw us some. But the thing is, like, yeah, I just, it's just very, very frustrating because I want to talk more about class divide and how the fact that they're, but I think both parties have a problem with people of certain class and below because they don't know how to reach them. They don't know how to talk to them and they pander and lie to them. But talking to those individuals who are a part of your class or a part of your tax bracket and getting them to understand that, look, we're trying to do this to better ourselves together. We want better for all of us.
All votes.
But you seem to be in a place where you just want to punish those people who don't like what you like. And you don't even care about the results that afterwards, which is them getting the power and passing the legislation and basically making our lives either what they are now or worse. And it's frustrating. It's so frustrating, Jane.
It will be interesting to see what happens with these class action lawsuits now against Elon Musk. And one of these lawyers who is putting this together is looking for more plaintiffs.
Yeah.
Because this, I'm sure millions of people jumped on this.
Yeah, of course.
If they thought they had the shot at $1 million.
Yes. I even thought about entering. I was like, please let me win because I can go up there and be like, Kamala 2024, thanks for the money, buddy. You know what I mean?
I do. And you're probably not alone.
Yeah.
But again, it was a scam.
Yes.
It was essentially a scam. It was essentially fraud. We'll see what happens with that. One little bright spot.
Yeah.
To wrap up the end of this week.
Okay.
People are fleeing what used to be Twitter in droves.
Yeah.
In droves. CNN host Jim Acosta today linked X's 80% plummet in value under Musk to Trump's allies' promotion of far-right propaganda. Acosta said, what used to be Twitter is a dumpster fire right now of hatred and bile. It just looks like it's designed in a way to pump right-wing propaganda into your face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And he loves it.
Well, that was why he bought it.
Yeah.
That was why Elon Musk bought Twitter. New York Times media reporter Bill Carter says, a portion of people who have fled the platform did so because they're fed up with Elmo. They don't like the idea. He's basically turned the place into a megaphone for one particular party, Mr. Free Speech. All of a sudden, it's filled with people who are just shouting and swearing at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes on our text line.
Yeah.
Carter also argued that users are choosing Blue Sky over Threads. I'm on Blue Sky.
Oh, man. Poor Threads. They tried.
Over Zuckerberg's Meta because they're tired of engaging with what is described as a big billionaire's toy.
Yeah. I mean, that's not wrong either. I mean, when Threads came out, it was immediately criticized for its for the fact that it wasn't so user friendly. There mm-hmm. there was features on there that you could, there was features on Twitter that you couldn't do on Threads. And it seems like Mark Zuckerberg has since kind of learned, like, yeah, Threads is, I wouldn't be surprised if by 2026 it's away. Gone. Yeah. Because Blue Sky is becoming more popular. It was started by Jack Dorsey, who was the started CEO Twitter. Of Twitter. It's got this same look. There are some functionalities that aren't there, but you will go there and immediately notice a better vibe.
Oh, without a doubt. Jim Acosta, again, CNN, says he made the switch to Blue Sky and found it very refreshing not to be slammed with angry comments on every post.
Yeah.
It is a much different vibe. Check it out.
Yeah. You're on the Blue Sky?
I'm on the Blue Sky. I'm on Blue Sky. It's my name, Jane Matinier.
I'm right now having an open, in the, like, public conversation with someone about building guitars. It's cool. Nice.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
I mean, there's politics, but it's also puppy pictures.
Yeah.
You know, just some lighter things, a lot of photographers. And there are folks that put together starter packs, too,
yeah.
to help you, whether it's a historian or it's a reporter or it's whatever your interest is. Mm-hmm. Check out Blue Sky.
Yeah.
I think you might like it.
We're not being paid by them.
No.
No, we're not.
We're not.
We're not.
We were not predetermined to win $1 million, rats.
Oh, man, I'd love to win $1 million.
Yeah, that'd be nice. All right. One more break to go. We're going to wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Never Forget edition. Keep it right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into, like, pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. Join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have news coming up at noon. Then Todd Alba takes over from 12 to 2. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Dom Salvia, check him out from 4 to 6. And then Pete Schwabba with a little lighter end of the day with Nightlight from Pete Schwabba. He does a great job. He's got some really cute entertainment stories and stuff from inside Hollywood.
He talked to John Legend the other day.
I know.
What?
Yeah, that's a pretty nice get, right?
That's an amazing get. But did he talk to former UN Ambassador Susan Rice? No, he didn't.
Okay, take that, Pete Schwabba.
Yeah.
All right. It is 11:50, almost 11:53. Calvin, that means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
It can be anything that shouldn't be a thing. You can always send in your thing that should not be to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Janesays. What's the matter?
It's just like the things.
I'm doing that. I'm doing the weave.
I'm bobbing and weaving.
I'm bobbing and weaving. Here is the headline. Today it's the Never Forget edition.
No.
Headline from the New York Times reads, "If you think you can hold a grudge, consider the crow."
Yeah.
The brainy birds carry big chips on their wings, according to scientists and some who have become subjects of crow ire, who may have been victims of mistaken identity. Wow. So, researchers at one point were catching crows.
Yes.
And then they banned them, and then they released them.
Yeah.
And they would wear different masks.
Yes.
When they were catching and banding these crows and then releasing them.
Yeah.
The crows remembered the masks.
Yes, they did.
And they would actually shriek at people and dive bomb people.
Yeah.
Who apparently resembled this mask. An L.A. resident, Neil Dave, described crows attacking his house, slamming their beaks against his glass door to the point where he was afraid it would shatter. Hello, birds.
What'd you do, dude?
Alfred Hitchcock. Jim Rue, an artist in Maine, said crows destroyed the wiper blades of dozens of cars in the parking lot of his senior living apartment. Nothing could get them to back off.
I'm going to side with the crows on this one because
you're going with
two
the crows?
Reasons. Humans, we're a dirty, terrible people sometimes. We interrupt the wildlife's good intentions all the live long day. Also, I want them on my side.
So you want to court the crows. You want to be on the good side of the crows.
Yes, I believe that crows are good, honest, hardworking, especially American crows when they pay their tax. But, yeah, this doesn't surprise me at all. Although it is funny, they talk about how intelligent they are, but then they get the face wrong. They're like, my bad.
Oops.
Oopsie doodles.
Sorry about that. But also, apparently, it is generational.
This is like my family. We don't talk to the Poyningers down the street.
Ever.
Why? You know why.
We just don't.
We don't.
We just don't. Yeah, so this is generational.
Yeah.
And that other crows will pick up on this and then be upset with the same people. My father always said, don't hold a grudge.
It's not healthy.
It isn't healthy.
No, it eats up your insides.
But apparently it keeps the crows going.
You know how they it's called a murder of crows, which, by the way, is the most metal grouping of animals
murder
ever.
Of crows?
A murder of crows.
That should be a band name.
Yes. But honestly, learning this information, it should be called a petty of crows. I mean, that's what their name should be. Thank you. One laugh. Are the nearly 300 people watching us on the live stream? Are you laughing? That was funny. But yeah, I mean, it's just
please clap.
I kind of love it. I kind of love the idea that not only do they hold grudges, it's like for nearly two decades.
They don't forget.
They don't forget for the same amount of time that cicadas come around. Cicadas come around every 17 years. Crows hold grudges for 17 years. I want to know the connection.
Have we ever seen cicadas and crows in the same place at the same time?
No. Hatfield, McCoy. Oh, my goodness.
Here, Elon, here's something for you to investigate.
Yeah, go over.
Spend your time on that. Go. Maybe go do that. Anyway, if you run into a crow.
Don't. First
of
all.
Stay on his goods. Just, I don't know, smile and wave.
If you run into a crow, step back, apologize, dip your head, come back, and then walk away.
It wasn't me.
And then don a new mask for the rest of your life, or at least for the next 17 to 20 years.
That does it for today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on Monday, we are going to recap all of the things that happened over the weekend.
Yes,
nothing
indeed.
Nothing ever happens on weekends, Greg. So.
Nothing happens at 12:02 p.m. on Fridays.
On Fridays.
Every time. Friday used to be the news dump day. All the news that no one cared about would be, the president's doing this. This thing's happening. No one cares. It's Friday. Nowadays, it's like, Donald Trump has decided to move the White House to Mar-a-Lago, and it's dumping at 12:03 p.m.
Or later on in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that used to be the joke that it was, right? It was the unimportant things that got dumped on Fridays, and that's not the case anymore.
Nope.
All right. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. News is next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday. Take care.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison filmmaker and musician James Runde. And Civic Media host Earl Ingram joins the show to talk about his favorite film noirs. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden has a big meeting Saturday at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Lima, Peru.
Eyes will be on President Biden's meeting with China's President Xi Jinping. It's only the third time that the leaders have met since Biden took office, and it will likely be the last time they both meet as presidents. But there are a number of things that were told by the White House that they will be discussing, chief among them, a smooth transition between the Biden and Trump administration.
ABC's Alex Perche in Lima. A representative for Rudy Giuliani said the former Trump lawyer is relinquishing his cherished watches as he attempts to pay a nine-figure judgment to two former election workers he defamed in 2020. Oklahoma school superintendent Ryan Walters is requiring local districts to show his video announcing a new Department of Religious Freedom and Patriotism. The state attorney general says Walters has no such authority. This is ABC News. Facing a death penalty for his questionable conviction for the shaken baby death of his two-year-old daughter in 2002, the Supreme Court of Texas just removed one hurdle.
Robert Robertson was set for execution last month when the Texas Supreme Court halted the procedure to allow the 57-year-old to testify before a legislative committee. In the end, Robertson did not appear, but his supporters did and argued that he was wrongly convicted and sentenced to die. Now the Supreme Court has removed its temporary block, saying its authority had been circumvented by state lawmakers. No new execution date has been set. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Missouri authorities say the cases are not related, but a state highway patrol trooper, David McKnight, and Julian Alcala, an officer in the St. Louis suburb of Florissant, were indicted separately this week for pulling over women for traffic stops, then rifling through their phones looking for nude pictures, according to investigators. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network.